we all get to heaven. Kind of thought we might be in heaven before this morning, but God has his plan, he has his purpose in the things he does, so just pray that he gives me patience to wait for his soon coming. But this morning, I think most of us sitting here this morning have had a reason to have written a love letter to someone you love, or maybe left notes of encouragement to them. Maybe you've received those types of letters. Our pastor often talks about receiving letters from Polly and how he looks so forward to getting them, and I'm sure he wrote a few to her also. When we write those letters, we like to use certain words to convey our feelings for that person. Sometimes those letters can get so intimate, you don't want anybody else but the person to who the letter was written to read it. But we use certain words over and over again in those letters. Well, there are words used in the scriptures that always seem to catch my attention. Many of us look at these letters as a type of love letter written to us by our Lord. If you have never had a love letter written to you, read your Bible. There are many just for you. But the words that catch my attention more than most are words like love, grace, mercy, faith, hope, and love, which you find at the end of chapter 13 in 1 Corinthians. And of course, the fruit of the Spirit. The words there are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, found in Galatians 5. And I love the word loving-kindness. David said in Psalm 63 that it's better than life. But the three words that really speak to my heart the most are love, grace, and mercy. Grace and mercy seem to be born out of the Lord's great love for us. But mercy is the word I want to focus on today. It means to be compassionate. In Psalm 13:5, David said, "But I have trusted in the mercy, in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation." His faith in God's mercy filled his heart with joy in his salvation, because joy and peace come by believing. Believers should pour out their hearts and prayers, renouncing all hope but in the mercy of God through the Savior's blood. Of course, we can't forget the 23rd Psalm in verse 6, where it says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." Faith teaches believers to trust that the goodness and mercy of God will follow them all the days of their lives, and that they will enjoy his love in heaven forever. In Psalm 136, the psalm starts out with, "O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." Forgetful as we are, things often need to be repeated to us. That is why at the end of every verse are the words, "For his mercy endureth forever." And why not? This psalm starts out recognizing him as God of gods and Lord of lords. How he does great wonders and shows his wisdom by creating the earth and the oceans, the great lights like the sun, the moon, and the stars, how he delivered Israel from Egypt, parted the Red Sea, and overthrew Pharaoh and his army in it, how he led Israel through the wilderness, how he smote great and famous kings, how he gave them their land for a heritage, and how he gives food to all. How can we not find reasons to be thankful for his mercy? Now in Romans 9, verse 15, Paul is quoting what God said to Moses in Exodus 33. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. To understand this, you need to understand election, and I don't have the time to explain election today, but my time is always limited here, but other than to say the new creation is the elect. Those who are born again of that spiritual seed by the power of the Holy Spirit, Christ being the head of this elect race. All are elect who believe the gospel. God has shown no mercy to the old creation. He shows him no compassion. God will show mercy to us when we acknowledge that we deserve none and accept his Son. Then he comes in with abundant mercy. But it is only to the new creation. Because of his Son and his effectual sacrifice on our behalf on the cross. And he also says in this same chapter in verse 23 that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory. Can the wealth of his glory really be understood? And we're the recipients of it. But now we see in Ephesians 2:4, it says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. God can use words like this in his love letters to me over and over again. I love that verse. You know that God saw us as a new creation in Christ before he ever saw us in the old creation in Adam. God saw a full and complete victory over death and the devil. He made us alive together with Christ and raised us up with him and made us to sit with him in the heavenlies, all together in Christ. All this was before we were born. Why would he do that? So he could put on display his grace and his mercy. And so to end this today, you could go to Hebrews 4:16, and we all love this verse, and we quote this verse often. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Isn't it so fitting that mercy would be found obtainable at the throne of grace? The throne of law has now become a throne of grace because God's holy Son has offered himself as a sacrifice in man's place and has ascended into heaven. Mercy's hand is stretched out to every needy soul. The power that raised Jesus from the dead is to us who believe. So why wouldn't we love reading God's love letters? Especially when we know God is rich in mercy and that he wants us to he wants to show it to us and share it with us so abundantly. Praise the Lord.